FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's 1919, or actually it's 1919, and make of that what you will. If you add all the numbers together, you come up with 2, which means something if you're into numerology, but what do I know about numerology? Anyway, what I do know is the email address is kl@carrylutz.com, and you should email me if you would like to participate in the show. We welcome all, we read everything, and if it's a great question, you'll hear it on the show. If it's a really great question, we'll hook up and interview you. Anyways, real estate. Hey, real estate in Florida is booming, slowing down in the rest of the country. I see signs that it's even slowing down here in Florida. Some of the newer construction, they're having to incentivize agents and buyers. But there's a lot of myths about real estate, and we're here to help you see the truth, pick out the truth, forage the truth from the myth, from the fiction. We like to deconstruct myths and stories. That's what we do best here. Well, Robert Pollini is with us. Robert, you're a real estate expert from the Tampa Bay area, and you're an expert at debunking these scary myths. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So myths, what kind of myths are we dealing with here? Since you are the real estate myth buster.
Yeah, there's not many. Truth be told, most people would see the common sense in things, but some myths are really for real estate based on the time. So what would be a myth now could have been a fact, let's say a year ago. So everybody, when they ask me a question about real estate, they're speaking in the now. So they're saying, like, when you asked me how business was, and, you know, we're saying it's booming. They want to know, what can they do? Should they do now? They're asking now because they can act now. So I would tell them, the myth is, when you see the market shifting, you almost want to start the idea of investing and looking for investing. But the truth is, at the beginning of a shift, it's the worst time for the average person to start investing based on where we are on that little bell curve. That's one of them.
Yeah, and the bell curve. So where are we on the bell curve? That's what I'd like to know. Are we at the beginning of the end, or the end of the beginning?
That is a very good question. We're pretty much a little bit past the loop in the center that hooks up, as if we're looking at the Liberty Bell, to the chassis. So we're at the top, the squeeze, so to speak. And what I call it is a lag shift. It's a delay from one market to the next. So our business is booming because the way we do business. However, like what you were saying, in Florida in general, they haven't dropped, but they've, so to speak, spoken flatlined, or we're at the top of that curve,
plateau.
Like the bell.
Plateau,
and yeah. What happens is, inventory is too high, but so are the prices, and the buyers are far few in between. So the market is cutthroat. Those who are still in it are sucking up all the good deals, and the only thing left over is not actually as good as it appears.
Yeah, that's kind of my take on it. Although, what you have to look at overall, throughout the country, when you're analyzing home sales to figure out the market, new household formations, right? And that is whether it's people getting married, whatever. We're seeing in Florida that number is still pretty high. In the rest of the country, it's kind of starting to drop. Maybe it's still up there in Texas, but in Florida, certainly. And whether those new homes are formed by people moving out of other less favorable venues, such as the Northeast, where taxes are through the roof. We just had the major tax change of the decade, which has made it much less favorable to be a New York City homeowner and property owner, and has led to a shift in new home formations in Florida, new home formation destruction in New York. But that's what we're seeing here, right?
Yeah, and for us, there's a few different reasons. One of them is the median price point for resales, which are homes that have been sold a few times and already built, is surpassing a brand new house. So, you know, it only takes a few seconds to go, well, I would rather have a brand new house custom for the same price. And we also have the space. Mm-hmm. So new construction in Florida, we've got, you know, a lot, unlike New York, we just have more space to boom that part of it. And our tax laws went the other way. You've got more freedom as far as coastal properties. You have less of a, more of a break on state tax, property tax, estate tax, even income tax. So that's enticing for those to buy in Florida who don't actually live here.
Yeah, income tax. There is no income tax in Florida, as well as eight other states across the country, Texas being most prominent, but also Tennessee, Washington State. And I could name them for you if I had a few minutes. But South Dakota's one, but I don't see a rush to live in South Dakota for some reason. I don't quite understand that one. It's jobs are great there, everything else, but maybe not so much for the climate. But taxes, definitely, people vote with their feet. And so does that put somewhat of a, call it a cushion under real estate prices here? Because Florida has a tendency, you've been here a while, so have I, to overbuild and to get ahead of the cycle. And then you're left with all of this inventory and no buyers. And then rates go up. I think rates will come back down. Honestly, I think they perhaps have peaked, but that remains to be seen. That's an opinion. But the fact is, there's an awful lot of new home construction in Florida. You could argue in Florida that there really is only one industry, Robert, and that is real estate.
You could, actually. And they do it, and it's sad because, or not sad, because it works, but those builders, they're not part of a municipality. They're not part of some communal growth plan. They're just independent business owners like the rest of us, and they choose to just build. And they'll find, we're seeing them in nooks I didn't even know you could build.
Yeah, I know.
It looks like a swamp, and next thing you know, there's a 100-door apartment complex.
Yeah, same here. One minute, there's alligators crawling around, and you think, oh, that's a preserve. And the next minute, pile drivers driving out the gators. You know, it's kind of freaky, but always boom and bust in Florida. So you know, there's not going to be a soft landing here, right? It's not going to be a soft
exactly.
landing. Exactly.
They're moving way too fast, and they're just trying to beat the clock. And it's the masses who will suffer when the rubber meets the road, when it's so oversaturated. And that doesn't even include other elements like the stock market's going down, bonds and interest rates going up, liquidity getting moved into the real estate market. First time home buyers, those types of people can't do it if the interest rates go up, and they probably will go down again, but over the long haul, the direction they're aiming is up. It's just part of the ebb and flow of commerce, just the way it's set up.
But one thing that I've read about and I've experienced it firsthand, there's a lot of Chinese money down here in Florida now in markets that you wouldn't think they would be involved in. Like you would think, all right, Chinese money going to go to the major metropolitan areas, mainly Miami. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the main one, but to a lesser extent, maybe up to Jacksonville, to a lesser, maybe a Tampa and Orlando. And yet they have discovered the entire state. Thank goodness for the power of the internet, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that is true. And even that's foreign, but even domestically, the FHA division of our own government, the VA, SWIFMA, Blackwater, they own properties, like hundreds of thousands. And when they go to unleash all the inventory that they bought to invest in or recoup during the first bubble burst, that's going to extremely saturate the market across the country.
Yeah, BlackRock, I think, is the largest owner of single family homes in the country, and by design, and they probably should have sold already, but they're not really selling. They have Invitation Homes. That's their website. And they've got some amazing homes there. I was looking there thinking maybe I'll rent one there. But location is difficult because they're spread out all over and you just don't know where you're going to wind up with them, you know?
Right, exactly. It is hit or miss. So, and they are looking for the lower median. You know, they're not selling $500,000 or $1 million homes, and that, it's high volume too. So it definitely will affect the market. And that's what comes after the lag shift. Now, this is a slow move, mm-hmm. like a roller coaster at the very top. But as soon as you get to that, the opposite of critical mass, which is going straight down, you know, it comes quick. And it could be maybe a year too. It doesn't have to be very long.
I find kind of fascinating is that rents are still going up, though, and looks like mm-hmm. they're going to continue to go up unless there's some massive unleashing of rentals onto the market. I don't know how that happens, but, you know, and that puts a floor on homes because so many of your homes in Florida are investment properties.
Right. And renters are going to get squeezed no matter how you look at it, because if they can't buy and they have to keep renting within the next 2 years and then interest rates become too high, and even a 1 point on a $250,000 house could be $15,000 more you're paying for the same house. So then they'll have to rent. But because that will have a domino effect across the board, then those who do own the properties that rent will have that monopolized type situation to where it's a rentees market. The tenant has no choice. That's how they're going to pay higher rates. It's just supply and demand.
Yeah, supply and demand. And, you know, people that shouldn't be homeowners, they're actually called tenants. People that can't afford to own homes are called tenants. I mean, I'm looking, there's mm-hmm. one from Invitation Homes literally around the corner from where I am in northern Palm Beach County. And it's a really nice development. Three-bedroom, three-bath, 2,274 feet townhouse and going for $2,600 a month. So not too shabby there.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that is nice, but that's a lot. If you're not even going to, you never get ownership with that.
Yeah. Well,
those terms,
you have to, you know, easy spreadsheet to compare the cost of home ownership. This place, my guess is probably a $400,000 unit. So you're able to rent it for less, you know, it's a discount over where it would cost to buy it. But if interest rates go back mm-hmm. down, those numbers will change dramatically. And then you're basically a fool not to buy a home, especially if you can get it with a low down payment, et cetera. So, mm-hmm. you know, so the market is going to do what it's going to do. And what's the best way here to make money in real estate?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
The best way to make money is just to keep an eye and an ear out there. And you need two people to do it in a shifting market. It's not just a realtor, but a lender. Because in this market, it's going to be unlike 2008, where the entire financial world as we know it collapsed. So unless you were rolling in the cash, very few people at all could buy on a regular level, like one house or two houses or a condo. I mean, they were just buying multifamily and huge things. But yes, this time it's really going to be based on supply and demand, not economic lies and, you know, problems and things like that. Mm-hmm. So like The Big Short, there'll be opportunities for banks to lend to people with good jobs, steady jobs with decent credit to pay their bills. So the average person can actually have a window here to make some residual money as, you know, going along with their normal job. So there's a really good opportunity for a lot of people this time. And so if you get with a lender, the lender's going to make you aware of all the new lending products for investing and ways of using collateral based on your job, based on your income, based on your cash that you're bringing. And then the agent is going to have a pulse on the good inventory, the inventory that isn't up yet, because we're working with clients and we're building relationships with them. And the relationship is our job, and that's the value. No longer just searching for houses is it. Anybody can do that with a smartphone. You're buying our information and our reputation and our connections. And then you wait for the right opportunity and let them guide you. The investor's the hero. The agent and the lender should be our Yoda, our Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I like the analogy. And there's always opportunities in every market. Hey, look, in Lee County, Florida, over not too far from where you are, I had friends during the last crash made millions of dollars buying up every home they could at the foreclosure sales and the tax deed sales, and buying up land, which they were buying for $1,100 to $3,500 per parcel. Now they're worth $30,000 and up. My friend Mike was only buying lots on water, canals or bays or whatever. It had to have a water exposure. $1,100 to $3,500. They're building like mad over in Cape Coral and in Lehigh Acres. And you know, he owned 100-something of these lots, and they're worth millions now. So for a very low investment and a very low risk. But that's the thing. People perceive a declining market or a market that's crashed as riskier than one that is going up and perhaps peaking. And that's a bad perspective to have.
It's not about that. In fact, in this market, most of the clients that we deal with are more serious now. In a perfect client or an inclining climate, everybody is just, you know, tiptoeing. They're just trying to test the waters. They're doing it because they feel like it, not because they have to. Mm-hmm. In a squeezed market or a shifted market, they're doing it because they have to. So they're way more legitimate, and it's a trade-off.
Yes.
There are still opportunities for agents and homeowners and investors alike. You just have to know what you're looking for. Like, for example, in a squeezed market where, jobs are tough and there's not a lot of equity and things start selling, there are situations we could run into a seller who needs to sell so fast that they need to move somewhere else, but they don't need the cash. Mm-hmm. We could basically have an in-house finance. And if it's not HOA restricted with first right of refusal, we could turn that thing into a rental with not even spending a dime.
Yeah.
And just the surplus is the profit. The seller gets his or her, monthly thing. The tenant gets to get in there. We manage it. It could be a lease option to where they purchase it, down the road. And there's so many different ways to look at this market. It doesn't necessarily mean you can't buy, you can't invest, you can't sell. Like if you're a homeowner and you need to sell and you want to know, if and when a good time is, it's all relative to your circumstance and your demographic.
Yeah.
Your geographics.
I'm looking forward to the point, not looking forward to it, but I think it's going to come about where mortgage money becomes scarce and you got to go to owner financing to some extent. And, I think that's going to happen because I think these banks are going to be cutting back on the mortgages. They're already cutting back on operations in real estate funding. And yes, the independents have picked up the slack a little, but when a bank like Wells Fargo or Chase cuts back 20-30% of their real estate lending, you're going to see creative finance once again ruled the day. So anyways,
but that's good. That's a good observation. They know what's coming and they're preparing for it first. And that should tell all of us that it's coming. But there's two things you can do. Even now we're doing it in contracts with creative financing. We're getting sellers to either pay for closing costs for the buyers to cover their debt to income ratio and, you know, repairs and stuff. Or in some cases, when the interest rates were a little bit higher, a few, like a month or two ago, we were using seller concessions to buy down points. And over this lifetime of a loan, that could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. So little things that in the end will still net the seller what they want, just the way it's worked could benefit both parties. That's another good reason why hooking up with a local lender and a real estate professional will help you and still you can keep doing your job.
Yeah, it could make all the difference for sure. Hey, we want to find out more about you, follow your work and what you're doing. Where is the best place to find you these days?
Oh, well, thank you. My real estate website is EZ, Echo Zebra, or Zelda, Florida, HomeSearch.com, EZFloridaHomeSearch.com. My website for the book is, the book's being printed as we speak. It'll be ready for mass production here in about 6 weeks.
Excellent.
It's called Good Talk, Great Sales, as you know, and the website will be Good Talk Nation.
All right. Excellent. All right, well, we'll be sure to keep an eye out for it. Good luck with the book. Hey, questions or comments, be part of the show. Email me, kl@carrielutz.com, kl@carrielutz.com. If you're listening on YouTube, then please like, subscribe, and share. It really helps when you do that. And if you're listening through the podcast, other means, do the same. Like, subscribe, share, because it really helps get the word out. It really helps build the show up. And we owe you for that because it's been so successful over the years and we're growing by leaps and bounds now. Robert, really appreciate you coming on and we'll talk to you again real soon, especially when the worm turns.
Thank you so much, Kara. I appreciate it. It was a great opportunity and thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.